Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester with you on this Friday. Doesn't feel like a Friday. What on earth, like, what day is it?
This I don't has know. Been a, I don't know what today
for,
is.
For a thousand reasons has been as confusing a week as there is. There was a day this week, like, I was just, like, totally off on what day it was. Like, ready to, like, go do something that I normally would do on a Saturday. But it is Friday. We know everybody's feeling that 4th of July hangover, you know, literally and figuratively. But we'll get you there. Hopefully you can go celebrate again tonight. And hopefully you just got the day off. Like, those are the people that I'm jealous of. Like, who just got the day off? Who gets the four-day weekend? You're living that life we're all jealous of right now. But we're here with you if you're back on the work schedule. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline is open for you here. You can get in touch with us that way. Let's set up our giveaway here. We'll give away some HTO iced tea and coffee, more than 20 flavors of tea. Still great way to help celebrate the 4th. That is available at East Wichita, West Wichita, and in Derby. You can also get some free rain coffee if you come by the East location or down in Derby. All you got to do for that is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's tea to short code 20357. You can enter once a day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Tommy, let's look at the trade deadline. So CBS Sports puts out some rumors here, and here's what they have. Just you know, we know who the sellers are, right? The obvious ones are there. If you just look, you know it'll be the Rockies, you know it'll be the Marlins, you know it'll be the A's, the Angels, and the White Sox. That's all we know right now. That's a pretty short list. We think Toronto could enter that mix, and that'll be really interesting if they do that. Detroit, with the same record as Toronto, I would say is very much on the fence. Texas would be very much on the fence. I'd be pretty surprised if Texas sells anything. You'd have Washington on the fence, and this is sort of that next tier. You know, Pittsburgh would sort of be on the fence probably at this point. Then everybody else is kind of around 500, and you wouldn't be able to make any proclamations. So CBS Sports says the Mets will be focused on buying, which is interesting, but they've gotten real, real hot. So the Mets would be focused on buying, according to CBS Sports. The Reds are in purgatory. They don't know yet. They're going to see how this goes for another week or two. And a team like the Reds has the luxury of waiting. And then you get the Angels already listening, according to FanSided, on a closer who's been pretty good this year. 3 ERA, 27 strikeouts in 27 innings. He's got the things that you would like to see out of a closer. And, you know, so pay attention there because that is something the Royals could use. So that's what's out there right now. And then and everybody else is sort of with the Reds, I think, Tom. They're just kind of in purgatory. Wait and see mode, and there'll be a lot of those teams with really good assets if they choose to be sellers.
Yeah, one of the teams I think that we really keep our eyes on over the next couple of weeks, the Boston Red Sox, for obvious reasons. We know that the Royals are playing them a handful of times over the next few weeks. They're in that purgatory stage right now too, where they're, you know, in the wild card mix, but they could fall out of the wild card mix with their schedule over the next few weeks. And there were rumors even as early as I think before the season started or within the first month of the season that they were more than likely going to be sellers if things did not go well for them. So now they're kind of in that holding pattern. Like, will they be a playoff team? Will they not be a playoff team the next couple of weeks? If they can fall out of that, and the Royals will have a huge hand in that. If the Red Sox end up becoming sellers, there are a number of players on that roster that could end up being pretty attractive trade candidates. And there's a couple of bullpen pieces, too, that the Red Sox have that they could look at moving if they end up falling out of playoff contention.
I mean, I don't think there's any chance that they fall out of playoff contention now. I would imagine.
They could. Boston's, I mean, think of the number of times they play Kansas City over the next couple of weeks. If Kansas City can, you know, get some games over them, then they could easily fall out of that wild card race. And
yeah,
you know,
but they're eight games. They're eight games over 500. I do think a part of this, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll have time to ask JJ Piccolo this. I don't know, because it gets a little bit into the weeds. But I am curious, from when there are so many teams like there are this year. And this is it, like I have sort of tried to think of this more as a race against yourself to a certain number of wins, only because when there are so many teams in it, it feels too early to try and like look at what your, you know, games back of any particular team. When there are, I mean, when we look at the American League right now, there are going to be, for all of the wild card spots, for all six, you're going to have at least 10 probably teams competing for that. It's pretty hard to try and keep up every day with what each one's doing. Boston would certainly be in the mix of that. I almost think you just have to think of it as like a race against yourself. Are we going to get to whatever we think? What's the number? Let's say it's 92 wins. I think that would be safe. So it's sort of this race to get to 92. Because what's happening is, when there are so many teams, yeah, you may have great series against Boston, and then you have a bad series the next week. Boston has a great series, and they're right back in the mix. Like it sort of happened with Cleveland, right? Cleveland, you go out, yes, we took 3 of 4 against Cleveland. Then you lose the next series. Cleveland wins 2 of 3, and you lose another game. So I just think there's too many teams at this point in it to look at it that way, and it's almost like, okay, on the flip side, we do this with the Royals all the time. Are the Royals capable of getting to 92 wins? Yes, they are. Right? Despite everything else said, everything else aside, yes, they can. Boston has to feel the same way. Seattle has to feel the same way. Houston certainly does now. Minnesota certainly does. But we, you know, Minnesota's 2 games better than Boston, I believe, in the standings. Tampa would feel that way. So I don't, you know, I'm going to look at all of those teams and say, unless something tragic happens to them between now and the deadline, they'll all at least be stand pat and not sellers. Maybe not buyers, but don't do anything kind of teams. I would venture to say Boston will be aggressive because they can afford to take on payroll. I think all of these teams are probably going to be buyers to some degree.
The only reason that I bring up the Red Sox is because of it was pretty clear at the beginning of the season that they could potentially be aggressive as sellers if the season didn't particularly go their way. Like that was, I think, more that they were talked about more as sellers even before the season started than maybe any other team in Major League Baseball. Now, of course, there are more clear sellers that are out there. And then there are some teams that, you know, could potentially play their way out of being a seller. I know you mentioned, you know, some of these teams that are very clearly going to move players. But I look at a team like, you know, how about the Chicago Cubs, for example, who have underperformed this year? They've got some fairly attractive pieces that I think they could get a pretty nice return for, players like Cody Bellinger and others on that roster that they could easily move. It's just going to be a matter of, are they interested in being that aggressive and being sellers, or do they think that they could still play their way, you know, into some kind of in the National League? That's where it starts to get really interesting with some of these other teams. I look at even like the Angels, for example. They're not moving Mike Trout, but there are a lot of other players that could be really good additions for these teams that just need one or two more pieces to get over the hump, and, you know, some outfield pieces and pitchers and things like that. So I look at that. I think the most likely player, if we're going to talk about the Royals, that could end up being in Kansas City by the trade deadline, somebody like Tommy Pham. And, you know, the White Sox are god awful, and they could move him. That's not a very expensive move for Kansas City. And I think that would be an upgrade piece for Kansas City in the outfield. I'm still not on board with that thought that you have to go out there and be uber aggressive if you're JJ Piccolo. But I do think if you can find some fairly affordable pieces like a Tommy Pham, could end up being a nice upgrade.
I don't think they can be aggressive because I don't think they have what it takes to be aggressive. So I don't think it matters too much. I'm more curious about like how much volume do they are they, you know, do they have an appetite for? You're going to try to add a bat and a reliever to, you know, like that kind of a thing. Mike Trout, if he makes it back for the All-Star break, he gets healthy enough to play a couple of games before the deadline. You want to talk about Boston? I mean, if he'll make $35 million a year. 37, I think it is. Until he's basically, I think, 38. I mean, I think there would be an appetite for Mike Trout. And if you're the Angels,
I think there would be too. I just don't think they're going to move him.
What are they waiting for, though? Shohei's gone. Like, you got to, the Angels have got to find, you know, they got to push reset. Trout will be an interesting name. Just keep an eye out for Trout. Because if I'm the Angels and he gets back healthy enough for me to trade, they could trade him in the offseason. There's a thousand times they could trade Mike Trout. There'll be teams willing to take on that risk. You're talking about arguably the greatest baseball player of all time. I mean, that's what you're talking about with Mike Trout. So, and he's 32. He's not old. He's been hurt a little bit here lately. But there would be a tremendous appetite for Mike Trout. And he would be really good for somebody for at least 3 or 4 years. So we'll see on him. That's an interesting
thing. I want to go back to the White Sox very quickly because there's a trade that I think that the Royals could make with the White Sox. They could literally do one trade with that team. And I don't exactly know who you'd be willing to give up from the Royals' perspective that the White Sox would want in return. But you could basically take care, maybe not take care, but at least improve some of those holes that we've talked about in one swoop. If you can get Tommy Pham and, you know, Michael Kopech, their closer. If you get two of those, like both of those guys, then at that point you've got an outfield bat and you've got a bullpen piece. And I think those guys are probably going to be moved. Garrett Crochet also is somebody that is intriguing that the White Sox could potentially move.
He'll be one of the hottest names on the deadline.
I mean, he's got, you know, that fastball up over 100 miles per hour. That's kind of what his calling card is. So if you could get, you know, either Kopech or Crochet, in a deal.
He's going to be one of the bigger names traded. He's too good.
I'm just thinking like, how can the Royals maneuver a trade with a team like the White Sox if they want to try to address two different places in one trade and get it done and you don't have to go worry a bunch of other things?
Crochet's whip, Tommy, is under one. His ERA is 3. Yeah. He's going to be one of the bigger names. He's 25 years old. If they trade him,
then go out and get their closer then.
It ain't gonna be the Royals.
You know, Michael Kopech.
I don't know that Kopech. Kopech's not. I mean, he's you know, maybe could slot in as your sixth or seventh inning guy. Like
he's their closer right now for the White Sox.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's been good. He hadn't been that good. I am interested in Tommy Pham, and I would love. Yeah, if you can get Kopech thrown in there, that's fine. I'm interested in Tommy Pham. You've got me with Tommy Pham for sure. We've said his name a lot. Just somebody who's productive, right, at the plate is what you could get with Pham, and a veteran who's been there and done all these things. And if I recall, and I'd have to look this up, I believe he's been a pretty good playoff bat in the opportunities he's had over the years, I think. Yeah, I would take Pham. I'm telling you right now, Crochet is going to be like one of the blockbuster guys.
Another option could be, I think we know that the Marlins are going to sell. You could try to work out some kind of trade where maybe you're getting their closer, Tanner Scott, and somebody like Brian De La Cruz. Like that's, you know, an outfield bat that you could potentially acquire. Both of those guys look to potentially be dealt by the Marlins. I'm just trying to think of how can you maneuver this if you're J.J. Piccolo in one trade as opposed to having to go and work with multiple teams and, you know, try to address your issues in more than one trade. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that would be the way. If I'm going to make a trade, if I'm Piccolo and I'm going to try to figure out a way to improve this team in this window this season, then I'm going to look at, you know, players that and teams where you can maybe try to get it all done at once.
I don't think that's possible, unfortunately. So Tanner Scott, great name, been good now for 2 years. You got to think about who's trading him, the Marlins. The Marlins are different than the White Sox. The Marlins aren't going to be looking for salary dumps. They don't have any expensive players. So they're going to be in a position where they're going to want prospects back. Royals probably don't have the appetite for that, and they probably don't have the prospects to begin with. Scott may be one of the two or three best relievers that's traded at the deadline. So, Kopech makes more sense, even though he's not nearly as good a pitcher at this point, because the White Sox might be willing to just do salary dumps. That's going to be what's interesting about this. You know, salary dumps with some on the White Sox, but like Garrett Crochet, again, he's going to bring a haul. Remember that Aroldis Chapman, who, you know, Tanner Scott, let's compare them, you know, just in the sense that they're high leverage, good relievers. That brought back Cole Reagans last year. The Royals don't have that sitting around to trade. And they wouldn't trade it even if they did have it. They had Cole Reagans, so they're not trading him. You know, it made sense for Texas. Move like that probably doesn't make sense for the Royals. So it is going to have to be very calculated in that they're going to have to find payroll dumping teams, I think, because that's going to almost certainly have to be a part of the equation. I don't think it will be as simple as, let's say, it is for Boston or for Houston or, you know, some of these teams that can just go isolate, like, who are the players we really like? Because they're in a position to just go get anybody, right?
And if it ends up being, you know, something – if you've got to go with the team that's looking for a salary dump, and I understand that logic, you know, that takes the Marlins out. It probably takes the A's out of the equation as well. You know, the A's have a great bullpen, and they've got a couple of outfielders too that you could definitely go and acquire. But they're not looking for salary dumps either, I don't think.
Well, but they might be looking for you might be looking for expiring contracts, though. That can help, too. Like, you know, if it's not a long-term piece. The A's, and who knows what the A's. The A's are a wild card anyway. But, you know, the Rockies, like some of the it's
Blue Jays, you mentioned them. You know, there could definitely be salary dumps there with the Blue Jays. With guys like Justin Turner, I've heard his name, you know, dropped as a guy that, you know, could be moved at the deadline. They've got a couple of relievers too. And what I like about what the Blue Jays have going on, if they end up being aggressive, is that all of the talk is going to be around Vladimir, maybe even Bo Bichette, moving those guys, the high-profile names. The Royals, I don't think they're not going to be in on either one of those guys, but you can kind of work behind the scenes on some of these other pieces that the Blue Jays have and not have to worry about all of the, you know, high focus on Vlad and Bo Bichette. If you can go out and look at a Justin Turner, maybe one of their relievers, they've got a couple that are decent. That would be the way that I would attack the Blue Jays, because I have to worry about all the pressure and the stakes around, you know, one of those big name guys.
There are four teams, I think, and I could just off the top of my head that I think immediately become the most interesting for the Royals. And I have not gone and looked through these teams and like who, what contracts and all the play. I haven't done that yet. Toronto, the White Sox, the Angels, and the Cubs would be the teams I'd be looking at real hard and scouting like crazy right now, because they're either out of it, real close to being out of it, and they're teams that can be salary dumping teams that are looking to do it. And so, you know, like, maybe they're just more interested in getting prospects too. That's hard to predict. But teams that are about to, like, start over in a lot of ways, probably you could do them a favor by just taking expiring contracts, taking like rentals. Like, honestly, the Royals, and you know, it's, we used to talk about the rentals in such a negative light, but this is sort of a year where a rental would probably be right up the Royals' alley. Like, what, I'd love to have a rental right now if all it cost us is money. And I think you got to look at those teams. Now, you could get into, some of these teams are bad financially anyway. The Marlins would certainly classify there. The A's would certainly classify there. Who knows what they're willing to do? I would certainly call on Tanner Scott. You know, I don't know what his, I'm going to look this up real quick, what his contract looks like. But, you know, he's on a one-year deal. Is that right? Or is that just an arbitration year? 2 seconds. Yeah, it's an arbitration. So he's an unrestricted free agent. So maybe he could come, right? Because they know they're not going to bring him back anyway. So make the calls. I just don't know that those are the moves we're going to see made. I think Tommy Pham screams at us because that's an obvious one that fits in every sense of everything, right? That just makes sense. Who's a guy that you don't need that we could borrow basically for half a season? And I'm sure that, you know, the Cubs and the Angels have those guys too. The Angels closer might be a great candidate, Estevez. He's not as good as Tanner Scott, but he's probably a whole lot more affordable. And that's a team that may be real close to needing to completely blow that thing up. It will be fascinating. We will have the conversation with J.J. Piccolo on Monday and see exactly what they're thinking. My guess is they're waiting like everybody else because they're too jammed up right now and there's nothing that they can do.
I also think that there is a priority. If you can get, and I know an outfield bat is definitely the direction, I think, offensively that the Royals need to look at. An added benefit and potentially a big time added benefit is if whoever that outfield bat that they add can also lead off, because that continues to be a recurring issue for Kansas City, whether we're talking about Michael Garcia or Nick Lofton. Neither one of those guys are hitting right now. Matt Quatrero is allergic to putting Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot. That's just, I'm off of that soapbox because it's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. He would rather have Kel Garcia or Nick Lofton strike out every time they go up to bat than put Bobby Jr. in the leadoff spot. I just don't know who else you put in there. So if you can acquire a rental and outfield bat that can also lead off, I think that checks all the boxes right there. And that's probably not Tommy Pham. So I don't know if that ends up disqualifying the 36-year-old Tommy Pham, because I don't think he's a leadoff guy, at this point in his career. So I don't know. I think that would be an added benefit that you absolutely need to look at.
It'll be fascinating. Maybe we'll ask Piccolo about that leadoff spot. Maybe he has thoughts. I don't know. We got other things.
Isn't it infuriating? Stat last night that Nick Lofton in his last 40 plate appearances, 3 for 40 in his last 40. Michael Garcia, 5 for his last 63. Those are the two guys that you're trotting out there batting lead up.
Tommy, it's been infuriating for me since, I don't know, every day of this season to not be leading off Bobby Witt Jr. He is Acuna. He is Trout.
Yep.
He needs to be leading off. He needs to be leading off. I mean, obviously, my opinion on that hasn't changed. 869-1240. All right, Royals fans, we can go back to any of that, revisit it if you'd like. We'll move forward. Let's look at what Missouri's doing to try and keep their teams. I think it's interesting. They're trying. I don't know if it's going to be good enough. We'll have that when we return on Sports Daily. Sports Daily. Tommy, have you been tuned in at all on what Missouri is up to here when it comes to the Chiefs, the Royals? It's almost like they're willing to break them apart. They're kind of focused on what it's been strange. It's been strange. Like a Chiefs-only ballot.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, what they're trying to do, and I get it. I understand. They're at this point, it's kind of, I don't want to say that they're flailing, or it's kind of a Hail Mary kind of situation. But at this point, I know that at least from a political capital standpoint, like these lawmakers in Missouri need to try to do everything that they can to salvage this, to try to figure out a way to fix it. Because, I think even all the way up to the governor of the state, if they end up losing these two teams, I think that's gonna look bad on what the lawmakers of that state are trying to accomplish. So I get it. I get why they're, sort of, I don't know if they're in panic, might be in panic mode at this point, but trying to do something to figure out a way to keep those teams.
It feels to me like they're punting on the Royals. at least on the proposals I've seen. And everything they're talking about only benefits the Chiefs. And they're taking all of that, all those resources that would go to both and just saying, we'll just give you all this. It just seems disorganized. There seems to be no unity on it. People don't agree. I don't even think there's a real appetite for it among the fans because they know there's not a real threat to lose the teams to another area because they can just go to Kansas now. I think that honestly dilutes the appetite for Missouri to keep it. Kansas has played this very well. Chestnut checkers. Kansas has had this foresight for a very long time. And you're not going to hear a lot of, you know, we're not particularly kind to politicians. We make a lot of jokes. We got jokes, but they deserve a ton of credit here, I think, in my opinion, because you can go back to sports betting. They have had their eye on the prize now for 3 years. The second that the Chiefs floated it out there that they might be willing to come over, you saw sports betting push through. You saw provisions in sports betting that are specifically tied to this specific situation to bring professional sports franchises over. It's not a tremendous amount of money, I know, but they had the foresight to put that in there. You've seen the disorder. You know, you just sort of get your ducks lined up here, okay, and then all of a sudden the vote goes sideways. Boom, Kansas is on it instantly. They're on it with an offer that Missouri can't match, quite frankly, without just doing something absolutely ridiculous and stupid, which maybe they're willing to do. I don't know. The Chiefs are sitting back here just, you know, evil man in the chair with their fingers counting their money because somebody's going to give them a ton here. We've seen a lot of what Kansas is willing to offer. Not all of it because they don't want to play their hand to Missouri. Now Missouri's got to counter it unless they just come way over the top. Like, if you're the Chiefs, and you have seen this level of dysfunction, at, like, wouldn't you just want to do business with Kansas anyway? So much more organized, so much more united. It's not a partisan thing, so you actually see lawmakers do what they're supposed to do and not just blow smoke. Like, they've set this all up, and whether you think it's the right decision or the wrong decision, logistically speaking, they've laid it right there for them.
Yeah, and I think that part of the challenge with Missouri, and Carson, the governor of Missouri, said this, that he anticipates having some kind of aid plan in place by the end of the year. So first off, there's a couple of issues with that. Number one is the timing of it. Kansas now has a several-month head start because they're now in a position to negotiate directly with the Chiefs and the Royals right now, since that was, you know, passed in the special session and Laura Kelly signed off on it and all of that, they can now negotiate with these two organizations starting now and moving forward, where Missouri probably won't know their numbers and what that aid plan looks like until the end of the year, is what the governor said just a few days ago. Number two, so the timing is one. Number two is the fact that it's going to require legislative approval, this aid plan for Missouri and what they're trying to put together. And we've seen the way that that state government operates when it comes to sports betting. They've not been able to get that wagering plan done in the state of Missouri basically every time that it's been brought forward. So if they can't get that done, I have a hard time thinking, unless there's a panic button set and everybody is like in unison that they're going to do this, I'm going to believe it when I see it, that the state of Missouri can actually get their crap together to be able to pass this by the end of the year. And I think that the governor of Missouri might be a little overly optimistic that something will be put together.
People also just, they think that a team is not, you know, like, no, they would never do that. I think there's some of that. They'd never go over there. They're not going to go over there. Of course they would. Let's just look at a list of NFL stadiums right now. Okay. Allegiant Stadium is technically in Paradise, Nevada. AT&T Stadium for the Dallas Cowboys is in Arlington. Okay. The Commanders Field, which is what it's called, Washington, they're in Landover, Maryland. You've got the New England Patriots, which is not really qualified because that isn't a real place anyway, right? But you've got the Buffalo Bills playing in Orchard Park. You have the San Francisco 49ers playing.
Next.
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara. Yeah.
You have two New York City teams playing in New Jersey. You have the two LA teams playing in Inglewood. You have the Phoenix, Arizona team playing in Glendale. So, I mean, look, and it happens in Major League Baseball too, right? Like, it's this is the same thing in Major League Baseball. Like, they don't care. They
the
just
Texas
need to
Rangers,
be within driving your, distance.
Your yeah. Texas Rangers, their old ballpark was named the Ballpark at Arlington. And they're the Dallas Texas Rangers, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, come on, like, this sort of thing happens all the time. If you don't think that the Royals or the Chiefs would move to Overland Park, you know, or like they absolutely would go across the border and do something like that.
It's less, you know, it happens less in baseball because so often you get these stadiums downtown. But it's a little bit. Where did the Braves build their new field?
In Cobb County. Cobb County, Georgia. They're, yeah. I think 45 minutes away from downtown Atlanta.
Isn't that where, on a separate note, isn't that where the Big Boss Man hailed from? Cobb County, Georgia? Cobb County.
I think you're right. I believe that's correct.
Where did the Big Boss Man hail from? I'm pretty sure it was Cobb County. There's a definite wrestling reference there. I got this is going to drive me nuts. Marietta, I think he said Cobb County. Yep, there he is. Yeah. A former corrections officer in Cobb County, Georgia. The home of the Atlanta Braves and the Big Boss Man. One of the great characters in pro wrestling history, by the way. Love the Big Boss Man. But anyway, it's just not out of the realm of possibility that they come over at all. Like, I wouldn't, like, I there was a point where I was 50. I think I'm more than 50-50. I just don't know why the Chiefs, especially the Chiefs, would want to mess with that mess that is Missouri governance right now. Not just this. They can't even get sports betting through. And it's so obvious why they should, if as part of this conversation. They can't even get that through. So you have that. And the Royals, while I do think the Royals probably still have an appetite to be in downtown Kansas City, I think they probably should have that appetite. At some point, they just need to hope they get any offer. And right now they have something in Kansas. I don't know that Missouri, like if I'm the Royals, I'm deeply offended right now because these new proposals, it's like, yeah, we don't really care what the Royals do. We just got to get the Chiefs, right? And I don't even, I mean, you get 81 home dates out of a baseball stadium. Plus all the, you know, plus all the other stuff that you can get along with it. And I would assume Kansas would utilize that space in a lot of ways. So I think they're coming to Kansas. I really do. I don't think Missouri's going to be able to figure this out. I don't think they're going to be able to match the offer. And even if they are, it just seems clearer the path and the ability to be forward thinking as a business to be on this side of the border. And it's really growing that way. Like, I expected this massive Missouri counteroffer to come, and it's like, yeah, they got a couple proposals.
They don't have the mechanisms to do it, number one, and they're
dysfunctional, they got to vote on everything. They got to vote on everything, and not that that's a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's muddier, it's messier. They could already be 6 months down the road here before Missouri even knows what it has the appetite for. They can't agree on anything. So credit to Kansas lawmakers. And I don't mean that to say this is the right decision. I mean that to say they're putting on a masterclass in how to get stuff done right now. This is how you move quickly. They've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been telling you that for 3 years. They've had a plan in place to get this done. They were able to move swiftly when the opportunity arose, and they did it. Right, wrong, or indifferent on the decision itself, the process to get there is 1,000 times better than what Missouri's been able to put out there. And I think the Chiefs notice that kind of stuff, and the Royals to some degree. But I think they're looking at all this too. And if I'm putting all this on the line, I just think it's becoming more and more obvious who you'd rather do business with.
The other thing, you mentioned the way that the state of Kansas has approached this, right, wrong, or indifferent. Not only has it been a masterclass as far as getting things done, it's been a masterclass in creating the story that they're coming in as the saviors to keep these two franchises in that metro throw area. Like, hey, if Missouri can't do it, if the voters won't pass it and get it done, let us step in. Let us be the saviors of this so we don't lose our sports franchises in the Kansas City metro area. Whether or not that's actually the truth or not, like from a narrative perspective, they've crafted that
it's kind beautifully. Of
It is kind of the truth because Missouri is dysfunctional, and the way that this all has played out for them, that's all true. You know, when would these two franchises leave for another market in general? Yeah, I think if the price was right, they would. Especially the Royals, I think would do that in a heartbeat. But I do think that from the storytelling perspective, that's been done really well too.
Yeah, it will continue to be compelling. We're probably by the end of the year going to, I would imagine, know the answer on this, and we can all move forward and not worry about it anymore. But and then we can really worry about the things that matter, like what the stadium might look like and, you know, all those kinds of things. 869-1240, you can weigh in on that if you'd like. We've got other things. We'll preview specifically tonight's Royals game. Let's take a look and see if there's any bets we might like. I'm kind of on a heater right now. In baseball betting, Tommy, I might need to let that ride a little bit. You can't back away from a heater. We all know that. 869-1240. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee fueling us up here. KFH, all the Odyssey stations there in Wichita. Thank you to Prairie Fire. It's an extra coffee morning. Why has today been so groggy? Like, I did not go hard for the fourth. I'll probably go a little harder today with nothing on the radar I can think of tomorrow. I don't know, Tommy. I like two beers. I am zapped, man. And maybe it's just because I'm old and, like, building furniture every night just wipes me out physically. But I just feel drained today.
It was a long day. You know, we moved into a new place earlier this week. That's why I was out Monday and Tuesday. And so it's been tiring, long days. And, you know, we hired movers, so that was good. But man, we moved on Monday. And if you recall back on Monday, it was hot that day. Tuesday was as well. Those poor movers, I mean, they're like in their 20s and they, you know, they're fit guys,
they're built
like
for
they,
it.
But they were, man, they were dripping wet and it was a hot day for them. So I'm glad they were doing it and not me. I tipped them well. It was rough.
The problem is for me on this front, one, if I never see another Allen wrench, I'll be very happy. You know how that goes when you're trying to build this stuff. And so my hands are fried, but they're going to come and install some, but you know this, and we're both like-minded in this. We were not blessed with patience. So lecture I got from my mom basically my whole life. What was her famous saying? She, in this, just like in the most annoying mom way, she would always say, "Patience is a virtue. Catch it if you can." Mm. What was it? Seldom in a woman, never in, or often in a woman, never in a man. Something like that. And I'm like, "Shut up, mom."
Yeah, but it's always worst timing. Like, so, you never want to hear that when it's being said to you.
And so there's these boxes in our garage of all this, you know, all the stuff we're adding on. We're doing like a remodel. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to just come home and know that stuff sitting out there when it could be built. Maybe somebody else a bit, but that would add, you know, 3 or 4 days to this project, and I'm ready for it to be done. I was like, I'm just going to bring that stuff in and start building it. And lo and behold, I'm glad I did, because, you know, there's missing parts on some things, and I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, we're getting old, man. We're getting old. It's a very sad day. Yeah. But we'll go party like we're 21 again here probably tonight. We'll get a little more festive. Do a little of our own firework popping. I'm just going to bring him over by. I'm going to throw black cats at Tommy all night now that I know he's leery of firecrackers. I'm going to tell my kids to take those little poppers and I keep throwing them at Tommy. Everybody, you know, where's the smoke bomb? We need to have fun here.
That's going to be a quick way for me to go home early tonight.
don't say that. It'll be fun. We're looking forward to the night. It'll be a good party. And this, I'm going to need the full weekend. to get ready for Monday. By the way, if you missed it, Monday, we are starting a simulcast with 12 News Plus, 12 News Connected. Basically, what that means is, you know, all the places you can catch a 12 News live stream. There are lots of different ways to do that. We will now have this video stream, many of you are watching currently, available to you that way as well. That will come with a lot of cool things. It's going to, you know, it's going to look clean. It's going to be great. We'll have promotional opportunities. But the other thing, you know, most importantly for the listeners and for the viewers will be we've got some really fun guests lined up and in the works for the next 2-3 weeks, kind of taking us into football season, to be perfectly honest with you. And that starts Monday. Monday, we are, you know, as locked in with a MLB executive this time of year as you can be. Obviously, schedules change on a dime this time of year, but we do expect right near the top of the show to have JJ Piccolo join us, sort of to kick things off, and then very soon after that, maybe even back-to-back segments. We don't typically do that with interviews, but we'll do it with these two, certainly. We'll have Mitch Holthus stop by, get us all caught up on the Chiefs. I know he's traveling, so he's going to try to give us a call when he's, I think, driving to an airport somewhere. His life, man, you got to, if you try to keep up with all the places he is within a calendar year, it's crazy. It is wild.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, so hey, we're expecting to catch him for a minute.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you've downloaded, obviously the Odyssey app is going to be a great place to be able to catch our show in audio form, live or podcasted. But I would also imagine downloading the 12 News app, being able right there on your phone to be able to, I mean, you can do that on social media too, but so download that app because like push notifications and things like that to know when our show and that simulcast is live.
We will be able to push to it for sure. It will have a page for sure that carries that particular stream. There are sort of two of those that exist, if I understand it correctly. And so one will have our newscast, and one is a secondary source where we might run like a live breaking news or interviews or things like that when they're happening. It goes to that. So that will have like a landing spot for you. And then we'll figure out. That's the thing. There's evolution. There's a ton of evolution in this. You know, certainly there has not been something like this done in this market. I don't recall, Tommy, seeing this sort of partnership really anywhere that I've seen. And it's always been a nice marriage and a nice relationship. Obviously, I work for both companies. Bruce Hurdle, who started the show, worked for both companies. There's been that natural relationship of things forever. So that is a unique piece to it. I don't recall this kind of partnership anywhere. So we're going to sort of revolutionize things and do things and learn as we go, and it will be really cool, and it will provide a ton of opportunities that we are so excited for. We got Big 12 Media Days next week. It's a great week to do it. Brandon Zenner's headed out there to Vegas in an assignment I'm probably as jealous as any that I miss out on these days. You know, I don't usually miss road life in that world anymore. It's been a long time since I've been on the road like that. Probably the first Super Bowl would be the last big one I was on, I think. But I'm pretty jealous of Big 12 Media Days in Vegas. You want to talk about a laid-back atmosphere. You get all kinds of access. You've got the buzz surrounding K-State KU. You've got the buzz surrounding the expanded Big 12. And you're in Las Vegas. I mean,
can you beat
come
that?
On. Nah,
I mean, I know there was a lot of criticism when that was announced that it was moving to Vegas, like
brilliant.
Away from traditional Big 12 territory. But come on, it's Vegas.
Brilliant. Do you think any reporter is going to miss the opportunity to convince their bosses to let them go cover that?
Absolutely not.
If it's in Dallas, you know what? We might be able to miss. No, we ain't missing Vegas. We're going to be there. We'll get those reports next week. Can't wait. Can't wait for it. Next week's going to be so fun. We'll come back. We'll tell you about the weekend here on KFH when we return.